This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. All right. How you feel on a rainy morning, huh? Isn't it amazing how, like, a little bit of rain changes everyone's mood? Everybody feels a little bit different when it rains to how they feel when it's a beautiful, sunny, bright day. You know what that is? Because we're animals. Because out in the cold and in the dark, before we learned to build houses, and we used to live under bushes and trees and rocks, the rain meant, oh no, no hunting today.
So that is why we feel like we should be seeking shelter right now.
I think so.
Oh.
See, I mean, this is where sometimes nature just wins. So as I was getting ready for work, my cat just looks at me and goes,
"Yeah, what's wrong with you, dumb human?
I'm sleeping today. Look outside, dickhead."
Right, because the cat knows there's nothing to be done. Yeah. The cat's aware, like, you can't go and hunt in this weather. There's no prey. The prey's all hiding away.
Can't we use that at work these days as an excuse to not work?
Well, I was thinking,
I mean,
there's so many,
right now, so yeah.
Okay.
There's so many people who can't work when it's like this, and who don't have customers when it's like this, like people in construction. Like, if you're pouring concrete, you can't do it in the rain. So those people can't go to work. Well, they can go to work, but then they're going to sit around.
Yeah, it's also difficult to give a tennis lesson right now.
Tennis lessons, good one, Ben.
Okay.
People who work in nurseries, no one's going shopping for plants in this weather.
I just always used to hope it rains during PE. Does that technically count?
That counts, yeah.
Also a bit shitty for prostitutes, really.
Yeah, not a good day when it rains.
Like, street corners have not been well covered in the last 20 years.
No.
That's why I'd rather be an escort, because, you know,
the
this
kind who
weather,
goes to houses, yeah.
Exactly. You hang out in the Ford Escort
fabulous.
The whole day.
Yeah, because rain for a lot of people means I'd like to cuddle with another warm body next to me. So, you know.
You know, often when I think of cuddle, I really don't think of the word prostitute.
No, I mean,
not the first one, yeah, but it's kind of in there.
Yeah, but, you know, some of these women are paid to just listen to these men whining. They don't even have sex with them.
Or not
speak
back.
They just want someone there.
Just not speak back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I just look at the people who are traveling in the rain, and you can see they just want to be wrapped up in bed. They don't want to be out here. It's much harder to wake up when you wake up in this kind of weather. And if it isn't raining where you are, because we don't know, we have listeners all over the world, then just bear with us for a second while we get into this. You know that it's exactly 4 years ago that Madiba died?
Oh, wow. Also a very rainy day.
Yeah.
It rained for like 3 days back then.
It did. It didn't stop raining. And the big news today, obviously, is that Busisiwe Mqwabane, who is the public protector, she has instituted a whole investigation into the government of the Eastern Cape and a whole lot of other people who were gouging prices around Madiba's funeral so that they could spend a whole lot of money and pocket a whole lot of money in a corrupt and illicit fashion. How's that?
Yeah. Over 230 million rand, if I read correctly.
That's right. Now, you know, you've got to be pretty low to steal money in the first place, and you've got to be pretty low to benefit financially from the funeral of a leader like Nelson Mandela. But if you combine the two, you really are a shithead, don't you think?
Yeah, but you can't also be overly surprised when you hear news like this, though.
Yeah.
Because people see something happen in the news and they're like, ah, ka-ching, opportunity. Everybody's emotionally in this moment. We can sneak this through. We can sneak that through. We could try to get some cash out of this.
Yeah, but Gareth, when life is a hustle, you're not exactly standing around to appreciate anything.
But I mean, another reason why this isn't surprising is because ordinary funeral homes, as it is, are already questionable in their methods.
Exactly.
Imagine now what it involves in a prominent person.
Remember Baby?
I mean, those guys steal every day.
Remember Baby Jake McClellan? He was
they really do. They do, though.
But remember Baby Jake? He was the face of one of these homes, and this home was found to be fraudulent and all kinds of dodgy.
Mm.
And he was, like, embroiled in the whole thing. just because how dodgy these funeral homes are.
They really are. They know that they can profit off of people's sorrow and emotions and sadness.
Yeah, and I think that must be the worst job in the world, to be an undertaker.
Oh,
imagine what happened to you.
Like people, I think it's one of the better ones.
What happened to you in your life that made you go, I think I'd rather hang around dead bodies all day than around actual living people? And the only people I want to see are sad ones. Just think about that. Got to be the worst decision in the world, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, come on, Ben.
It's big business.
Oh, sure, it's business.
It's big business. What if you don't like the sun? Some people just don't like the sun.
What does...
It's been indoors all day. Never talk to anybody. No one's going to give you shit.
Deal with dead people.
All you're doing is you're just processing a certain phase of life. And for some people, that's like being an accountant.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't think of it in that way.
I would rather be an accountant, and that's saying something.
That's great. Go ahead. Then you're not going to be providing competition for these undertakers.
All right, well, I'm curious. What would be the worst job for you? We were talking about things you can't do in the rain, and you know, undertakers came up as something that none of us really thought we'd ever want to do. And Ben's standing up for undertakers, which I appreciate. But for you, because of your personality, what would be the worst job you could possibly do?
Selling insurance.
Would that be horrible, Ben?
Yeah. Because I didn't really care about people's lives enough to lie to them about, well, it's the right thing to do. And then you gotta constantly phone people.
Oh,
and you're essentially just trying to get swindle amount of money with this sort of false safety net thing. That would hurt me every day. I would hate Monday for that. Mm. Sunday evenings I'd be suicidal. I'd be, phone that woman again.
Specifically selling insurance, though. So not just any sales job, just insurance.
Yeah, look, I think I'd be terrible at sales jobs because it requires a bit of tenacity and patience towards people you don't care about. And you've got to be sympathetic and you've got to be determined. You don't really need a lot of creativity. Unfortunately, I was born with creative genes.
I would hate to be a garbage man. That would be my... Because of all the muck and the mess and the filth and the stink.
Imagine
garbage man would be my absolute worst.
But Gareth, you're cruising around in the back of a truck with your mates. Sometimes it looks like fun to me.
No, Ben. Garbage man.
You're like a rubbish cowboy.
I'd take insurance any day over garbage man.
Yeah, that's what you say.
I'm telling you. Mubs, what about you? Absolute worst.
Well, if it's specific to my personality, I would hate being in the service industry because I'm a very unpleasant person.
No way.
Serving others requires you to be nice and to smile.
But like a waitress?
And to be kind.
Or a shop girl.
Hospitality, any of
Can
it.
Can you imagine, Mabali, you're not smiling enough. You're just not smiling enough.
Yeah.
Should shoot the person.
Yeah, that would
come
be
into work
worst.
One day with a gun and shoot the person.
Well,
but
it says here that you murdered your last boss. Why did you do that? Were you not smiling enough? You got to smile at this job too, you know.
What about you, Sia?
Oh, I think anything where I'd have to be
hidden
confined.
Away.
Oh, kill!
Like in the back room, like you were a stock taker.
That's actually two of my worst things. Being locked up in a tiny space and also manual labor. Not happening at all.
Laborer. Mm-mm. You'd be a terrible laborer.
Worst.
You would not get into it at all.
I wouldn't be good at it at all.
Oh, you know, the reason we're doing this, part of this exercise is also because a lot of people are probably feeling sorry for themselves. You know, at the end of the year, some people don't go on holiday.
Yeah.
And they don't get to have time off. So they're sitting there going, I hate my job. And so just imagine for a second you and your most... the polar opposite to your personality job. What about you, Amanda?
I would have to say a manager of a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that is tough.
Dealing with my type of family. Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
You mean if it was like a family restaurant?
Like anything.
If your family came to eat.
Yeah, I just wouldn't want to be a manager.
Yeah.
People are always complaining and so rude.
People who start restaurants are the bravest people in the world, especially if you start a little family-owned one and you have to... I mean, the things you have to think about. And then someone comes along and says, my steak was underdone.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you know what you could do with your steak? There's merit, by the way. I would love to meet someone who owns a restaurant and does not give a damn about their customers' complaints. Because I think there's merit in that. Like, I think a lot of people would like to go to a place where the chef knows what they're doing, because that's what a chef does. You're not the chef. If you want to be the chef, open your own restaurant. Where the chef knows what they're doing, and that when customers complain, the chef comes out of the kitchen and berates them. Says to them, look here, and they cut open the meat, and they say, look, that's perfect. What are you complaining about, you fucking cretin? Get out of my restaurant.
Well,
yeah,
wouldn't
that
be fun?
You got to go somewhere very expensive for that kind of behavior.
I like that, though, right? I mean, there's something about the chef actually storming out of the kitchen and saying to some ignorant idiot customer, no, you did order the cauliflower, and yes, that's how it comes. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I do. There's a part of me that kind of likes it when the people who are all self-righteous and they think that they're, you know, the customer's always right, because yes, that's nonsense. I like seeing those people being put in their place sometimes. You know, they're those serial complainers. Those people who go everywhere they go, they complain. They
nothing is ever good. Right.
Right. Those people, I want them put in their place daily. It would make me happy to have like a waitress look at someone and go, you know what? You can tell the manager yourself. I'm out of here.
I'll never forget the one time in a supermarket I heard an older woman complaining about how every time she gets there, her favorite rolls are finished. And I wanted to turn around and say to her, bitch, these things get baked in the oven and then they're sold. What the fuck do you want? Ah, well, they always finish by the time I get here.
Wake up earlier.
Ooh.
Early bird gets the fresh bread, bitch.
No, I was like, you don't have enough real problems in your life, clearly.
Once again, prime example as to why you wouldn't be the best in the service industry.
Well, I reckon this woman would get an important life lesson.
Yeah, she would.
But you know, getting back to the restaurant, how funny would it be to go to a restaurant where individual complaints are assessed by the rest of the people in the restaurant? So, you know, like in sports, when there's an infringement, the guy goes, look, we've got a bit of foul play here. Can you just go upstairs and have a look? Number 7, yeah. And see if number 7 put the knee in. So the waiter or waitress can go, okay, we've got a, someone said that my service has been slow. Can we run the tape? And everyone watches the big screen. And then they go, no, number 7.
That would be so great.
No, Gerald, you're talking crap. Give the woman a break. You can see her, she's holding 4 plates.
Tribal council. Everyone gets to vote.
It was 7 minutes, not 23. You're exaggerating. Get out.
And if you raise a complaint and it's not justified, you have to pay double.
Yes, exactly.
And if your complaint is upheld, you get half the price.
Exactly. And if you really are being a dick, you have to buy like the entire restaurant around of shooters. And if the chef has to come out, then like the lights go down, there's a spot on your table.
Yeah.
Gets mic'd up.
And then some like MC who's got a night shift on a radio station pops out and goes, we have a very serious complaint. The chef is on his way to your table. Yeah. Madam, what exactly is the nature of your complaint? Well, and I could do it like a cheesy game show.
Exactly. It's like, well, I found a pubic hair in my salad. Well, let's have a look through the wait staff this evening. As you can see, this man has no pubes. That one over there is Ginger, so it rules him out. And then you go through it. Oh, entertainment of
but we do have a team of forensic scientists examining the hair under a microscope right now. Mm. And then they're busy looking under the microscope, and then they come up with their verdict, and everyone in the restaurant starts to clap. You know, I can imagine. It would be fantastic.
Yeah,
what
great
entertainment.
Theme restaurant.
Because I think a lot of people really get off on complaining. It makes them feel special.
Sure.
You know, they have a job in like being in the garbage business or insurance or something, and then they go out that night, and they think, tonight I'm the princess. Tonight, everything better go my way or I'll complain.
Well, some people just need drama just for the sake of. It's like oxygen for them.
That's true. I know people like that. I try to stay away from them because they draw you into their drama.
But it's tough going back to thinking about these jobs. And if you're stuck in a situation like that, it really is tough to be optimistic.
I see people in traffic sometimes. Like the other day when I was late because I was stuck in traffic, I look around me and I don't see happy people. I don't see like excited people who are singing along to a song. Mm-hmm. I don't see people who are smiling and laughing. I really don't. You see a lot of miserable looking people.
Sure. I mean, the state of local radio does play into that. But there's various factors, Gareth.
Plenty.
Well, thinking just to what my father experiences, and it's a slight little part of being an undertaker.
Yeah,
because he funerals. Conducts funerals.
Yeah, he's
and
a pastor.
We always used to avoid him when he came back on a Saturday morning or afternoon, because we knew for at least a good 30 minutes after he comes back from a funeral, he would have to relay his entire experience. We're like, dude, we're just trying to catch up on some TV.
Yeah,
we don't
need
to know
about someone else's funeral.
That the body was not, like, you couldn't even identify this person anymore after the horrific accident. And then he'd just say, like, his iconic line was, "People are dying like flies. Look at them. Every weekend, people are dying."
Oh my God.
That was just the worst. Shame.
Vince says, "I have a friend who's a garbage man, and he just loves doing it. He starts at 6 in the morning, finishes at 9 in the morning. Now, who doesn't want to be a garbage man if those are your... Just endure the smell for 3 hours.
Gareth, you're already halfway there to being a garbage man. You work from 6 to 9.
That's true. That's all I do. Listening through the PC and the app. Funny how the PC is 1 minute ahead of the app. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Oh, see, when you listen to us on a computer, you get it faster?
Yep.
Hmm. What kind of mess and fuckery happened on yesterday's second podcast? Why was the guest included on the second podcast?"
The guest included in the...
Because you got a bonus guest.
Doomy... Yeah, listen. So we had Doomy Soul pop in at 7:30, which we've done with a lot of guests. And then we have our main interview at 8. I mean, what don't you understand about this, you retard? Maybe it's time for you to stop listening to us.
But it's so eloquent. What sort of fuckery is
that? I mean, really. Okay. Like, people are getting angry. What kind of a life do you have when you're getting angry about how we constitute our podcasts? Do me a favor and find something real to moan about.
Because it matters.
Yeah, did you not get your bread this morning?
Yeah.
No, guys.
Get out of here. All right. Apparently, they've designed a new logo for... Makosikoza's party. Have you seen it? It looks just like the ANC logo.
Change?
Well, I mean, that's not fair to say that. It's the same colors as the ANC logo.
Oh, okay.
It's got the, you know, in the ANC logo, you've got the fist holding onto the spear.
Money. Sorry, spear.
The spear, which has the flag on it.
Yeah.
This one's holding onto a torch, which has got the flag coming out of the top of it as a flame.
Oh.
With the same colors.
Same colors. And then instead of the ANC flag behind it with the shield and the wheel, it's got this circle with green, yellow, and then light blue. But it's kind of, I don't know, the two look very similar to me.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure that, I don't know, you know how people like to be, what is it, metaphorical or philosophical? What's the right phrase?
Well, Makosikoza needs to realize that the ANC doesn't love her anymore and that she can't be in love with the ANC. She's got Stockholm syndrome. No, you've got to realize at some point that he doesn't... What is that book that everybody talks about? He just isn't that into you.
Oh, he's not just... Yeah.
Right. She's got to realize that about the ANC. The ANC is just not that into her. They've pretty much cast her out and she's alone in the wilderness and you can't cling to the... The ANC is dead, honey. It's finished.
Well, she's not mincing her words. She just posted on Facebook around this. And she says, "Why is the ANC shivering? I thought it was so cold outside the ANC. Is it?" And then speaking about the specifics of her logo, she says, Over and above this, I left them JG Zuma's spear, the Dubai wheel, JG Zuma's shield from corruption and nuclear deal. Like, wow, I did not think she would be this petty.
Sure.
She's going in.
Petty or like hurt? Is that how a hurt person speaks?
I think petty because, like, you're done. Move past it. No, go right. on. Stop talking about the past.
Okay.
All
right. There's a whole lot of talk around Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's camp in the ANC elective conference that's coming up, but we'll get into that later on. All right, let's move. Let's do this. Let's start looking at some headlines for this morning. Kolkakio Pizzeria bring you the 5 things you need to know today. It's armed with a fiery passion for authentic Italian quality and innovation that got them started. That's the Kolkakio journey that I'm talking about, which began in 1992 when their founders opened the doors of their first flagship Kalkakia Pizzeria, which is in Cape Town. It's still there for you to go and see and visit. And today, with over 36 branches nationwide, they've extended their family of stores, their energetic team of staff, as well as what they offer you on the menu. You will not look back if you go and try Kalkakia Pizzeria today. Today's actually a perfect day for a pizza. Comfort food, that's what I call it. All right, Ramaphosa has won the ANC nomination race by numbers, but it's a tough road ahead. So Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa is leading the nominations for the ANC presidency after all nine provinces completed their provincial general councils, and people didn't know that they were going to get that right. Ramaphosa now has 1,861 branch nominations, 1,861, compared to Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma's 1,309. That means he has a 552 branch nomination lead. However, this figure excludes the 223 Mpumalanga branch nominations, where the word unity was used. Remember, they didn't decide who they were going with? The unity nominations were recorded as abstentions, even though the numbers were higher than those of Ramaphosa and Dlamini Zuma.
Oh, how childish is politics? Unity.
How's that, huh?
But.
How's that? So it really does rest with David Didi Mabuza, which Justice Malala told us this months ago. This is not news to us. But there we go. In case you're watching those numbers, now at least you know where we are. Everybody's excited. It's less than 10 days to Star Wars.
Yay. Yay.
The Last Jedi. What do you guys call yourselves? Star Warsians?
Oh, Star Walkies? I'm Ben Nesgareth.
What is wrong with you?
No, you've got to have a name, just like how Twihards.
Twihards, Trekkies.
No, Ben, come on.
No,
you're not
you
a four-year-old girl. You're a four-year-old
out?
Boy here. Yeah. Come on. Come
because
on.
Because I like things in life, but it doesn't mean I've just been labeled.
This should be a name for you guys.
Yeah.
I like Star Wars. I'm not a sci-fi geek.
Star Wars fan is just fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's coming up. I thought you needed to know about that, especially if you are a Star Wars fan. It is only the greatest movie event of the year, and Disney are gearing up for an incredible Last Jedi premiere. Apparently, they're even releasing a note in the UK that you could buy for 2,000 Rand, and it will have the dark side on one side and the light side on another, like a commemorative note. I think you'd be an idiot to do it, but there's some people who think that would be quite a good idea. So go for it. And then people are saying that Grace Mugabe is a mad woman with no brains, and she was in charge of Zim.
Appropriate segue with music here.
No. So Zimbabwe's war veterans leader, Chris Mutsvangwa, has reportedly said the military's intervention, which resulted in former President Robert Mugabe relinquishing power 2 weeks ago, was a counter coup to former First Lady Grace Mugabe's bedroom coup. How do you like that? Huh? Yeah. There's lots of news out of the US about Donald Trump and his tweeting lawyer who's taken over The Daily Show's Twitter account. Have you heard about this?
No.
Donald Trump's tweets are considered official statements by the White House. So they are very serious, even though sometimes you look at them and you go, this can't be from a president. That is why he tweets, and then we all skip a beat of our hearts, and most people consider their surroundings in case of an imminent nuclear event. But it seems that for one tweet only, Trump didn't send a message from his account. It was from his lawyer, John Dowd. And this is it. Listen, I never asked Comey to stop investigating Flynn. Just more fake news covering another Comey lie. Oddly enough, it was a tweet that many considered an admission of obstruction of justice when he asked former FBI Director James Comey to stop investigating Michael Flynn. Why his lawyer would tweet such a thing, we may never know. What Dowd did tell NBC was that he drafted the incriminating tweet and sent it to the White House social media director, Dan Scavino, to publish under the president's name. Very good legal representative, this Dowd. And now that he's become a bit of a social media expert, The Daily Show and Trevor Noah have welcomed him to take over their Twitter account for an hour because he totally knows how this Twitter thing works now. Basically, all you have to do in Twitter is not incriminate yourself. It's not hard to do. As he tweets, he probably has his fingers crossed and is watching the old Chappelle Show sketch about pleading the fifth. It's what high-powered lawyers do. So clever of Trevor Noah, who's basically hired Trump's lawyer to take over their Twitter account for an hour. So let's see what happens. How do you like that? You want another story?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me find you something really fun here. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, violence in Cape Town. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
As factions fight over DRC President Kabila, intense violence broke out within the Congolese community in Cape Town, some residents going into hiding for fear of their lives. They believe they're being targeted for being against President Joseph Kabila, the current president of the DRC. In 2 days, a Congolese resident in Cape Town was murdered, another one was shot at in an apparent attempted hit. He says he's in hiding. How do you like that? And a lot of these Congolese guys who've been killed are bouncers. So, the Congolese community is hiding in fear in Cape Town at the moment. There's something kind of crazy going on. All right, let's get to Ben and see what's happening in the sport. The sport brought to you by Jaguar Menlyn and Land Rover Menlyn. The Jaguar XF is so much more than a luxury car. It's a taut, athletic exterior inspired by the Jaguar F-Type. It turns heads, but when you get behind the wheel in luxurious comfort and experience, the fine-tuned performance, every drive is turned into an incredible experience. The features of the Jaguar XF will blow your mind, but the most impressive feature is what matters most. You can take ownership of one now, and you only have to start paying for it in March of 2018. So you can take it on a holiday while your payments join you there on holiday. To find out more about this incredible deal, click on through to menlyn.jaguar.co.za, or you can give them a call on Pretoria. That's 012-369-2400. That's 012-369-2400. 012-369-2400. And arrange a test drive today. Better yet, head down to the new improved Menlyn Jaguar dealership, which is located just off of Grasfontein Road on the N1 highway in Menlyn. Don't say we didn't warn you. You might see something that will change your mind about what to buy for Christmas this year. Screw the kids. Oh. Don't buy them presents. Buy a nice car for the whole family. One day those kids will thank you when they've learnt the value of being appreciative.
Oh, and also just grown from disappointment too.
Right.
That matures
no.
you.
I actually have a counter story for Said by Sia this morning, so fine.
Alright, well, we'll see what that is in a minute. Here's Ben with the sport. By the way, Ben, I saw your friend Alistair Coetzee on TV News last night. What a loser. Do you know that he said the following? He said, well, the margin between success and not success is very small. He actually said that.
You know, I'm not a violent man.
He said that.
I'm not a violent man, but I want to go to him and slap him like a bitch. Because what he's saying right now is just insulting. There's actually a really good article on Sport 24 right now, and that is the title, I think. Alistair Coetzee is insulting the SA public. Exactly what he's doing.
No, he's a douche.
And seeing as we're opening with this, and, well, he says this tour overseas was satisfactory and that he's really impressed with how the young players are coming through. The fact that this guy shows his arsehole to the public every time he wants to say something, it's just insulting in so many different ways. He's talking out of his rear every single time. And he's just crapping on, and he just keeps going back to that old chestnut. Well, you know, I'm looking for positives. Here's a positive, Alistair. You are still relatively young. You still seem to have all your faculties about you. I guess, sort of. And for some reason, I think people still want you to coach them in Japan. Go to Japan. Just go. Just go and go and go. I know you're not the biggest problem in SA Rugby, and I'm sure there's other problems other people that should go as well. But you are just making an absolute, as they say, in the area you're from, of yourself, because every single time you talk, it's infuriating. And as much as you want to do everyone proud and talk about strength and spirit and all this kind of stuff, you're not coaching a high school team. This is what I don't get. It's like, in professional sport, why is giving 100% something that's noteworthy? It's not. It's because you just have nothing to say, and because you have nothing to say because you have done nothing. And that is the horrible truth about it. The Boks have gone from third when he took over, and now they are sixth. And we would get hammered by Scotland right now. We just lost to Wales B. We're scared of Italy. And Italy are the 13th team in the world who can only maybe somehow beat Fiji once a year.
It's just time to stop.
It's just welcoming mediocrity on every level of the game. And he will keep saying this crap while he's still a coach here. So December the, 13th or so, 15th, one of those days, Saru will decide what to do, Alistair says he can't predict the future, but he'll have to have a case as to why Sorry must keep him on. Imagine how shit you gotta be that halfway through your contract, you've gotta plead for begging to stay in your job, and you're gonna open up with, I can't predict the future, but the Bucks are on the right track.
Loser.
But this is drugs, kids. Drugs have to be in play here, and this is why you mustn't do them. Because you lose sight of reality, and we're not living in reality, well, it's difficult to interact with those around you. And that's what Alistair is. He's isolating himself right now.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, in cricket, Gareth, the Ashes are on right now.
Oh, yeah?
And although Australia are, well, they're way ahead. They scored 442 for 8 in their first innings. England, well, they rolled over. Like the little whoops they are, 227. But Australia didn't enforce the follow-on, which is kind of strange because they could have put England back into bat with a new ball under lights with the pink ball, and they decided against it. It kind of backfired because, well, they got kind of rolled quite quickly. The top order just buckled, and they were 75 for 6, 70 for 9, currently 103 for 7. But they've already got a lead of 318 runs with 3 wickets ahead. They're in day 4, session 1. Many believe this is probably enough runs already. So although England, they're going to be very confident of the fact that they've got Australia currently 105 for 7. Well, they're up against it because there's no way that they're going to score that many runs on a 5th day wicket or under lights on the 4th day. Simple as that. Or under lights on the 5th day. So they can really declare and then go 2-0 down and see England, I don't know, cry and do all kinds of other things. Alex Hales, the guy that Ben Stokes was defending from getting a blowjob, he has not been charged by the authorities. He's free to go and play cricket again.
Okay, good.
And he's kind of free from this whole Ben Stokes incident, which apparently all just started around his nether regions. So, interesting. Interesting tale of justice there. Tonight is the Champions League. So, big night because, well, we're into the business end of the group stages. And if you haven't been doing very well from here, well, the UEFA Cup awaits you. But, last-ditch effort. Tonight we've got Roma up against Karabakh at 9:45.
Yeah.
And that will be... why is that significant, you may ask? Well, Karabakh, they're pretty much done and dusted. I don't think they're going to get very far. They've got all of 2 points, Gareth. Roma, though, well, they're up at the top. So they're 2 points behind Chelsea in Group C on 8 points. And, well, a win here just assures them of the next round. Barcelona then take on Sporting CP. That game doesn't mean a whole bunch of Barcelona because they're already through. They're going to be top of their log. They've got a superior goal difference. They're 3 points ahead of second place Juventus. But if Sporting win there, or even if they get a draw, it could be quite a good for them because Juventus are only a point ahead. Juventus will be away to Olympiacos.
Oh, yeah?
Olympiacos gone. Done and dusted. Out of us. UEFA Cup. Fantastic thingy. Here they come. So this is going to be a massive game for this one. Benfica will take on Basel at the same time. Benfica, they are... See, which country is that from?
Benfica is from Argentina.
Yes, correct. Portugal.
Portugal.
But now they've got 0 points. Zero points.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Portugal.
0 points. So Basel looking to cash in here because Basel are currently tied second with CSK Moscow on 9 points. Man United already got top the group on 12 points. So big, big day there for Basel. Man United will be hosting CSK. All these matches are 9:45. And, well, Champions League is just so great because this is where the men get separated from the boys, as they say, in a more misogynistic saying. Celtic will host Anderlecht. Both these teams haven't gone so well in Group B. PSG and Bayern are going to go through here. Clear far and away. Chelsea will take on Atletico Madrid. Now, Chelsea kind of need this win because if Roma get 3 points and then they lose to Atletico, well, they're not going to get top spots. So it's important for them as well. Also, all these games, 9:45. And then Bayern will take on PSG. So both teams are through. PSG are just unstoppable right now. So that's going to be a very exciting match. So Bayern aren't the team they used to be. Simple as that. But still, they will go through. Leipzig will take on the Besiktas, which, yeah, also not a real big game there at all. And then Porto will take on Monaco. I think that's enough for the Champions League tonight. The big games are going to be Sporting versus Juventus, Barcelona. Sorry, they'll take on...
Start again.
That one.
Excitement here. Olympiacos versus Juventus. That is going to be a real big one. And then look out for Bayern versus PSG. Where the both teams will have full strength teams. They both are through, so they might decide against it. But tonight also in the PSL, which is the local league, 4 teams after tonight's matches can go top of the log. Now, Baroka FC are currently top of the log on 19 points in 12 matches. But in their last 5 matches, they haven't recorded a win.
Mm-hmm.
Try to work that one out, how you can have such a dodgy recent run but still be top of the log. Pirates, they're 1 point behind on 18. Golden Arrows, 1 point behind on 17. And then we've got Cape Town City also on 17. Sundowns, they played three less than Baraka. They're on 16. So to look at the pick of the bunch there, Cape Town City will be hosting Maritzburg, 7:30. Sundowns versus the top team, Baraka, at 7:30 as well. And then Pirates versus SuperSport United. SuperSport United have had the wood over Pirates for quite some time now in previous recent seasons. And there's been some thrashings. There's been coaches resigning after SuperSport winning. So those are your three matches in the PSL. Hugely exciting. Usain Bolt has a big statue dedicated to him in Kingston, Jamaica, outside of the National Stadium there. And thankfully, unlike Ronaldo's original statue, this one doesn't look like a sex offender. So it's in his Bolt pose, and it's a giant, just beautiful, beautiful monument to such a beautiful, beautiful monument of a man who's done so much for sport and for the humankind, really.
Yeah, he's driven us forward.
He has. He has.
You know those people who say, failure doesn't stand fail. F-A-I-L stands for first attempt in learning.
Ah, there we go.
Participation trophy central.
Okay.
No, Usain Bolt's faster than you. He's better than you. You are a weak and inferior version of the species when you compare yourself to Usain Bolt. Forget about any other answer. You would be wrong.
Yeah. So parenting by Steph and Gareth Cliff. Is Russia going to be in the 2018 Winter Olympics?
Have they bought it?
You know how dodgy you are as a country. Every time the Olympics come around, they go, should we ban them? Should we not ban them? Just ban them. Get on with it. Dude, have some sort of stance against Russia. It's not like, well, they're kind of dope, or yeah, they're just find a stance here, because I'm so tired of these stories. And Russia, stop being so dodgy. It's a horrible stereotype. You've really got to get away from it now. And don't bitch when you're in movies where the Russian guy is the criminal. Well, you keep acting like this, how can you be surprised? IOC are preparing to decide upon this, and well, is there pressure? That's what you got to ask. But Russia do have the 2018 FIFA World Cup, so they've got something, I guess.
They've got something to practice their corruption on.
Yeah, but you can't really dope in football. It's not really going to make you more skillful than Messi and all that kind of stuff. You'll just go out there with bigger quads, probably a more throbbing neck. Doesn't make you a better footballer. That's pretty much it for your sports. More tomorrow.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. Let's turn our attention now to Sia with Said by Sia.
Oh,
all
right, stop.
Sia, over
thank
you.
You.
What do you got for us today?
So overwhelmed. Thank you very much. Well, folks, we know that Black Friday now has this reputation of being like the ugly stepsister of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
In America, particularly, where Thanksgiving is all about being good and grateful for things. And sure. Black Friday is just like a mess.
Take.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, one man in America has chosen to rather spread some good around in Black Friday, and actually going to continue that as we head into the Christmas season. So he is from New Jersey, and we only know him as Charlie K. And he spent his day preparing one heck of a holiday surprise for families in his area. Now, he's particularly anonymous, as you find out why as I continue with the story. Now, he was at a store, and he was initially just only going to go to a toy store to get something for his son, but that's when inspiration struck him. So yeah. While he was at his local toy store, he then decided, actually, why don't I pay for more than 60 orders that other customers had put on layaways in preparation for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when he thought, yeah, actually, let me do it. So he spent more than $10,000 in paying for other customers who he considered are probably going through a tough time and still want to place some sort of importance on cheering up their kids with Christmas gifts for, you know, this time of the year. I think it's very, very nice. When asked by some news reporters what inspired him, he explained that he did it all for his community. He said, I'm trying to bring some happiness to people, to the community that brought happiness to me and my family. I love this community, and I'm trying to provide back to it. Now, a spokesperson for the toy store actually confirmed the story and provided news reports with the specific amount that he actually spent on the layaway purchases. They say that they love the heartwarming acts of this one secret Santa who visited their toy store this morning. And his name is simply chose Charlie K, because he doesn't want to be
identified. I wouldn't want to have people. How do these guys feel about releasing all of his details, his name and his and the amount that he spent.
Charlie K is just the pseudonym, but that actually...
He didn't do it because he wanted attention.
Yeah, and that proves it more, that he was doing it for good, not wanting me, look at me, how great I am. So what I love most about the story is
I did that once, not like $10,000, but there was an old lady behind me in the queue at the shopping, you know,
This is good. Yeah.
So I said to the woman, because she was really old and she couldn't hear anyway, and she had a little trolley with a couple of things in it. I said, just whatever this woman's thing is, I'll come back in and pay you afterwards. So I went out to the car and unpacked my stuff, and then she said to the old lady, there's no charge, and the old lady couldn't believe it, and she didn't know who had done it, and I said, please don't tell her, and then I went back and I just gave her the cash.
I really would have loved to see her facial expression.
Well, she was, this old lady was kind of a little confused, so it was just as well she didn't say it was me, otherwise I'd have to sit and explain it to her.
What a great scammer actually getting things for free, though, because if you and the old lady are in cahoots, you can say that and then not come back.
No, hey, Ben, where's your Christmas cheer? Damn. Why would you want to scam
Ben has rumbled
people?
My plan.
Like, no.
Because Gareth, yeah. Exactly. So Gareth gives half his groceries to old ladies.
No. And then she gets them for free for us.
Well, let me put it this way. I am still optimistic, and I love that, as corny as it is, people just become nicer around this time of the year and they become more generous. So it also just proves that you can do good wherever you can and however you can and whatever big or small little way. So...
Sia's favorite thing, and our moment of 5 seconds.
Five seconds of Christmas! Yay!
Yeah, Sia. Look at him.
It's a nice build-up.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Three, two, one.
Oh.
Thank goodness, it's just enough.
It's got to be exactly 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's got to be more than that. We'll die, Mavs. Are you kidding? Can you imagine if we let him carry
to
on?
The time.
Absolutely. It's 5 seconds of Sia.
Oh, how I look forward to tomorrow's 5 seconds.
We're going to do this every day of December. It's just enough for people to remember the song and then... Boom, it's gone before it starts to hurt
that's
you.
It. Well, yeah, spreading the Christmas cheer this time of year for Sid Paisia this morning.
Very nice. All right. Oh, who's ready for a happy December? I mean, because there are a bunch of people who are, they're just miserable all year. And they don't really care whether it's December or January or June. And then there are those people who really get into December. And you know I'm one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Even if... I don't necessarily... I'm going to go on holiday in February next year. So it's not like I'm going to take a holiday now. But I'll get a couple of days off. And it's just fun to be able to spend time at home and be with friends and family. And, you know, mostly summer weather. Ignore the rain today. But everything else is going to go your way.
Yeah, well, this is summer weather, Gareth. We live in a summer rainfall region of the world.
That's true. And I don't have a problem with it. In fact, I welcome the summer.
Mm.
Even if it includes rain. Because I don't like the winter. That I can do without. All right, let's get cracking, shall we? When we come back, we'll have some news.
This is CliffCentral.com.